Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Unity Center of Light. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service this morning. We always like to start off by thanking you for all the wonderful donations that you've been sending. And ask you to continue to send those. It's been really helpful to help us continue the work that we're doing here. For those who may not know, you can always do those donations at our website, which is unitycenteroflight.org, and you will see the donate button in the upper right-hand corner. You can do it by PayPal, and you can do it by sending a check directly to our office. You can get that address from the website. Fortunately, the mailbox for our office is on the outside of the building because the building is closed during this COVID-19, situation. But again, thank you for those continued donations that you're sending. And we're going to get started with our worship today, service today with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning. Welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity Center of Light's mission and foundation statements. Let's affirm the mission statement together. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm the foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. We will now have our daily word reading for Sunday, today, August 2nd. The key word is compassion. The affirmation is, I am kind and compassionate. Seeking to grow in wisdom and compassion, I look to the examples of Jesus. Gospel stories give many examples of Jesus showing compassion by demonstrating keen awareness of the needs and feelings of friends and strangers alike. I remember learning that Jesus did not turn away from social outcasts. He healed them and shared meals with them. His compassion fed a multitude and restored wine to a wedding reception. Upon learning that his dear friend had died, Jesus wept. Even when his disciples deserted him as he was crucified, Jesus asked God to forgive them. As I desire to grow in compassion, I know that my kind words and even simply my loving presence provide comfort. I listen deeply with my heart as well as my ears. And the scripture reading is Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Amen. We will now have the message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we're continuing with this service, this series called Whose Am I Really? This is part 5. And the subtitle for today is Journey into the Inner Workings of God. And I know that's kind of a interesting thought, but we are going to understand how do we get into the inner workings of God and use that to, you know, enhance our lives. You know, there's a lot going on right now in the world today, to say the least. And whenever there's a lot going on in the world, it usually translates into a lot going on within each one of us. In conversations that I've had with some of you, and, you know, of course, they're mostly by email, and also some of the sharing that I heard on Courageous Conversation session that we had this past Monday, you know, I think I can hear that we're all struggling with different things. You know, when we can hear it from each other that we're all going through some inner turmoil. When you really listen, you know, as we talk to each other, you can hear that there, you know, we might say, oh, yeah, well, everything's going great, but there always, you know, there's so much going on, there is a little bit of turmoil, you know, going on. And even though that may sound like a bad thing, if handled with faith and courage, it can actually lead to a good thing, okay? And I purposely use the word turmoil instead of chaos. Right? I find myself looking up words a lot to try to get the real meaning of them, especially with April May, who is a wordsmith who uses so many different words. She has me, you know, kind of in that mode right now. But anyway, you know, language experts explain that while turmoil means a state of great disturbance, confusion, and uncertainty, now listen to what I said. It means a state of great confusion, disturbance and uncertainty. Chaos means complete disorder and confusion. So even though we may, you know, be experiencing some degree of disturbance, confusion, and uncertainty due to the present conditions in our country, based on our study and practice of truth principles, I don't believe that we are in chaos. We may be in turmoil, but I don't think that we're in chaos, those of us who have really been trying to work the principles in our lives. All right? So to apply a quote from Barbara Max Hubbard to the turmoil caused by the pandemic and social unrest, she said, "Many see looming catastrophe, but a few of us have realized that this crisis is actually driving us towards positive change, what she calls quantum transformation." Right? So one source explains that a quantum transformation is the act of becoming more amazing than you could ever have imagined. Okay, right? Now that goes back to the talk that we were doing on unspeakable joy and happiness. I've got an exact title. And I was saying back then that even as joyful as some things make us now, it is nothing compared to the joy and fulfillment that we will feel when we really learn how to tap into the inner workings of God, so to speak. Okay, so this idea, so it makes us, you know, gives us, makes us feel more amazing than we ever could imagine. And it's about taking quantum leaps into the growth and expansion of your being, causing you to awaken to your greater self that knows who you are meant to be, okay? And it is your greater self that is directing you towards who you are destined to become. So when you get those little things in your mind that are kind of pushing you to do something that's outside of your comfort zone, that's the greater self that's trying to push you towards what you are destined to be. But as we can see from the nation's struggle to get back to normal, right, the idea destined to be is not what seems to be in the forefront of folks' minds. You know, everybody's trying to get back to normal, back to the beaches, back to the restaurants, back to the bars, back to everything is getting back, all right? And we already can see, I've said this before, that the states that are trying to get back have done nothing but made a breeding ground for COVID to spread even more, all right? So there is this concept of spending this time to understand, what am I really destined to be, okay? But there's a graffiti written on a wall in Hong Kong, and I did get this off the internet. I wish I had, you know, could have gone to Hong Kong, Pam and I had seen it ourselves. Graffiti is a big thing in Hong Kong because they actually use it for advertising, okay? But as this saying on the wall in Hong Kong says, we cannot return to normal because the normal that we had was precisely the problem, all right? That's a powerful thought. And of course, this idea of who we are destined to be is in alignment with the focus of these lessons. Whose am I really, all right? So to explore this question, whose am I really, we're going to use the teachings of the Kabbalah to journey into the inner workings of God, that place which is actually within us that will help us make sense of what we're experiencing, right? That's the key, right? It's not about looking out here to make sense of it. We have to learn how to look in here to make sense of what's going on. So the Kabbalah is said to be the world's oldest body of spiritual wisdom. It contains the long hidden keys to the secrets of the universe, as well as the keys to the mysteries of the human heart and soul. It's the ancient Jewish tradition of mystical interpretation of the Bible. Okay, and that's important for you to hear that. You know, the ancient Jewish tradition of the mystical interpretations of the Bible. So we're not getting away from the Bible. We're trying to understand the deeper meaning in the Bible. And also, you got to remember when you're studying the Bible, especially the Old Testament, it's all Jewish culture, Jewish language, you know, that's been translated. It's Jewish mysticism. So you really can't just, you don't want to just read a line in the Bible, like you're going to hear, we're going to talk about soon, and, you know, take it literally, because you're not going to get the deeper meaning, right? And Rabbi Michael Berg, who I got a lot of this information from, is an expert on the Kabbalah. Matter of fact, his parents were Kabbalah experts, and he started studying with them when he was 14 years old, all right? But he explains that for thousands of years, the great Kabbalistic sages have taught that every human being is born with the potential for greatness, all right? Kabbalah is the means for activating that potential, and it's important to note that the Kabbalah was always meant to be used and not just to be learned. And that's the same thing with Scripture. So that's why we call ourselves practical Christians, because it's not just about learning Christian ideals. It's about practicing those ideas. That's the same thing with the Kabbalah. Always meant to be used, not just learned. And it's the purpose, you know, its purpose is to bring clarity, understanding, and freedom to our lives, okay? As Jesus said, you know, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from those things that keep us trapped within our own, you know, dynamics. I just finished watching a great martial arts movie, and I can't think of the name of it right now, Double Something, where a woman was freed from a cage and that she was kept in, and she went out and did her thing, and then she came back and beat up the guards and freed all of the people who were in the cages. And then she sat there, and she just went and laid back in the cage herself. And then later, when she was talking to somebody else, and she was telling them, the guy who freed her from the cage in the first place, he said, why did you do that? He said, because I realized it wasn't the cage that was holding me. I was holding myself in a cage. All right. That was really a powerful, you know, thing to begin to realize, that we're holding ourselves in a cage of our own fears and so forth. All right. So according to those who adhere to the teachings of Kabbalah, to gain intimate understanding and mastery of the Kabbalah brings us spiritually closer to God. And as a result of this understanding and mastery, we can be empowered with higher insights into the inner workings of God, okay? And, you know, this explanation of the Kabbalah is not meant to replace our biblical studies. Rather, it is meant to add more dimension to the study of the Bible. So to help us prepare for this lesson, listen to this Kabbalistic interpretation of the story of Exodus about the parting of the Red Sea, which, by the way, the Bible gives four differing views of the mechanics of the Israelites' escape from Pharaoh and his chariots, each giving us an increasing supernatural explanation. So I'm going to bring this up for you so you can see it, all right? So first there's the account given, there's an account first given by the Elohim God, okay, which represents the spiritual principle of being that's designed all of creation. The second one is this Song of the Sea. Now, I did look up the idea of the Song of the Sea and what that was about, but it's really too much for this lesson. So if you would like to do that, you know, those who are really into studying this, you can look that up for yourself. There's an account of the Yahweh, which is the original Hebrew name for Jehovah. Yahweh means the self-existent one who reveals itself to its creation and through its creation. All right, so Yahweh revealed itself to, now, and the fact that Yahweh is also the, you know, the idea of Jehovah God in the Old Testament, for us, Jehovah God is what we call the Holy Spirit. And we know that the activity of God in us is actually the Holy Spirit, or as we can say now, it's Jehovah God, or it's Yahweh that is actually moving through us and expressing through us, okay? So Yahweh revealed itself to Moses as I am that I am, right? And revealed itself to Jesus as the Father within. So there is this revealing that happens, and every single person who's listening to me right now has had Jehovah God, Yahweh, the Holy Spirit, the Father within, reveal itself to you. You have had that experience, okay? Now, there's also the account presented by the priestly writer. And those who've been studying the Bible know there's a priestly writer, there's a Q writer, there's a whole bunch of different people who are different. It's a writing style, I should say, that you find in the Bible. That has done the most to capture the imagination of the public, because this is the account where Moses stretches out his arms and the seas part, okay? So, as the Bible describes, 600,000 Israelites stood on the banks of the Red Sea. Now, you got to try to picture this. And I know you can picture it because I know everybody's seen the movie, all right? So 600,000 Israelites stood on the banks of the Red Sea. Pharaoh and the Egyptian army were in pursuit. And with the water in front of them and their enemy behind them, there seemed to be nowhere the Israelites could turn. They could only cry out to God for salvation, all right? Now, you got to try to picture this. And you've seen it. I know you've seen the movie, but, you know, Cecil B. DeMille did a good job of it. You know, Israelites are standing there, the Red Sea in front of them, you know, Pharaoh coming from behind with his army, and they cry out to God. And this is what God says. And now, before I say it, this is one of the most carefully studied and debated passages in all of biblical scholarship. The reply from God was, "Why are you calling out to me?" All right. Now, you got to think about that for a moment. All right. So the question is, to whom could the Israelites call upon if not God? Now, the Kabbalists explain that the passage is an encrypted message explaining the secret of human nature and the way to overcome the challenges we face through out our lives. So you get what I'm saying? That's why I'm saying you can't just look at the Bible and take it literally and go, "Oh my God, why didn't God want to help them?" Okay? Because there's more to it than that. All right? Now, I'm going to share some thoughts with you now. And I know there's a lot of note takers out there. After I share these thoughts, I'm actually going to bring up a slide, mainly to record the slide so that you can come back and study it later. All right? But to get a deeper interpretation of this passage, we turn to the Zohar, which is widely considered to be the most important works of Kabbalah or Jewish mysticism. Now, the Zohar is a mystical commentary on the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, traditionally believed to be the inspired works of God that were said to have been revealed to Moses. All right. So in its commentary on this passage, the Zohar, the source of Kabbalistic wisdom, explains that there is no need for the Creator's help. Because at that moment, Moses revealed a great spiritual wisdom and the collective consciousness of the people were elevated. Okay? So he shared something with them and it just elevated their consciousness. It elevated their faith. Now, I had to do some research to find out what he shared because the source that I got this from didn't say what he shared. So I did do some research and I'll share that with you in a little while. But the key here is not a single molecule of water moved until the people had physically moved forward into the sea with unwavering certainty that the sea would part, okay? Only when they were up to their necks, they were neck deep in the waves, and were still able to maintain complete certainty, complete faith that the water would part, did the sea part to give them safe passage to freedom. Okay, so let me just bring that up. And again, I'm just bringing up the same thing I just said, but I'm just, it's for recording for those of you who, you know, really want to come back and look at this a little bit deeper later. All right. So the idea behind this series, as it is in everything we study here, is to gain a greater understanding of the reality that we have a power inside of us. And you can say it with me, that is far greater than anything that exists outside of us. But we have to be able to know this and hold on to that knowing when we are up to our necks in turmoil, all right? That's the key. Just to say you've got the power, that just means you just learned how to say that affirmation. But to be able to put that to use when you're, and you've all of a sudden, I'm up to here, all right? I've had it up to here, all right? And so that's the same idea. Is when you're up to your necks in that, whatever that is, that turmoil is for you in your life, you've got to be able to stand strong in your faith. So what were the words that Moses shared with his people that increased their faith to the point where they absolutely knew that they would be delivered from harm? Okay, so here are the words, right? He said, "Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you. And you need only to be still and have faith. Let me say it again. You need only to be still and have faith. Okay. Now, I'm sure that everyone in this room has had the same experience that the Israelites had, and you might even be feeling that way right now, meaning being caught between the proverbial rock and a hard place, right? And I know that the words that, you know, Moses said just sound too simple, right? But they are a perfect example of the fact that faith in God is simple, right? In the midst of turmoil, you only need to be still and have faith that you will be delivered from that turmoil. So if you're still wondering why God responded to the Israelites by asking, "Why are you calling out to me?" it's because God knows that everything you need to answer your every prayer already exists within you. But as you have heard me quote so many times before, to come to the place in consciousness where you really know this, involution must occur before evolution. You cannot evolve before you involve. You cannot evolve to the level of absolute certainty and faith that you already have the power within you to answer your every prayer until you, you know, become deeply involved with the spiritual power that's innately within you, all right? And that's where the prayer meditation practice comes. So the word, you know, the word involve means to connect with closely. Now think about it. We all want to be more spiritual. However, we cannot discover the deeper truths that lie within us if we cannot move beyond the fearful character of our egos. As Moses shared with the people, do not be afraid, all right? Stand still, and you will see that the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. Now, metaphysically, and I think most people know this who have been studying for a while, Moses means the drawing out, extracting, okay? So when Moses said these simple words to the Israelites, he drew out or extracted from them a deeper knowing of Jehovah or Yahweh or Elohim God within them, okay? Now, the reason why Moses' words had such a profound impact on the Israelites is because when we are in what seems like extremely challenging conditions, now listen, we are actually ripe for higher understanding, okay? This is the higher understanding that Moses drew out of his people when they were in what appeared to be an unbelievably challenging situation. He shared a truth that caused the collective consciousness of the people to be raised above their own fearful inner chatter. And so it is with each one of us. We each have a truth within us that can raise us above our own fears. And according to the teachings of the Kabbalah, each one of us is destined to be raised to a level of consciousness where we have control over everything that happens in our lives, okay? Actually, where I read that from too, it was saying not only control over everything that happens in our lives, but actually control over the elements, right? Meaning control over our bodies, the healing of our own bodies and everything that happens around us. And again, I thought I'd leave that out because that might be too much for us to grab onto. But for those who can grab that, that's a powerful idea. And again, I know this sounds like one of those far-fetched spiritual ideas, you know. But according to the Kabbalah, the only thing that is keeping us from having control over our lives is our ego and its false belief that things outside of us actually do have real control over us. The truth that in reality things outside of us do have control over us, but instead we have control over them, is the great truth we each must learn. And that's, I think there's something alluding to that in every talk that I give, you know, that there's a power inside of us that's far greater than anything that exists outside of us. The challenge is we don't understand the nature of that power. That's why we have a difficult time understanding how to utilize it. Because power in the concept of the ego is totally different from the power of the spirit that exists inside of us, if that makes any sense, okay? You know, and as it was revealed in the story of the parting of the sea, not a single molecule of water of the obstacle before the Israelites moved until the people physically moved forward with absolute unwavering faith. And then it wasn't until they were up to their necks in that sea that it finally parted to give them safe passage to freedom from their dilemma. Okay, so our greatest challenge is quite often when we find ourselves up to our necks in whatever is challenging us, we panic, losing our faith, losing our focus that God is our unfailing source, protector, and guide. Okay, and I'm not judging that, because I still have a tendency to do it myself. Okay, I will catch myself quickly, but I still have a tendency to do it myself. You know, we have that reaction. Okay, so the thing we have to come to realize is that for us to develop that level of faith, we have to go up against our own fearful nature. We have to challenge ourselves. Okay, and last week and the week before, I was talking about self-mastery. All right, so self-mastery is being able to master my own inner dynamics. And the challenge with uncovering and understanding your God nature is that unlike the obviousness of your fearful ego nature, your God nature is subtle and somewhat hidden. You get it? So what I'm saying is we know our fearful ego nature. We know our ego nature. If you don't want to call it fearful, we know our ego nature. It's very obvious. We don't quite yet understand the concept of the subtle nature of our, you know, God nature. So Jesus spoke to us in parables to try to help us to unravel the hidden mystery within us. It is written in Matthew 13:35 that in ancient wisdom it was said, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. And in 1 Corinthians 2:10, Paul said, God has revealed to us through the Spirit. God reveals to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Okay? Which is how we can become able to journey into the inner workings of God. It is by elevating our connection to our indwelling spirit. Okay, so when we elevate our connection to our indwelling spirit, we're actually entering into the inner workings of God. Does that make sense? When we increase our connection with spirit within, we're increasing our journey into the inner workings of God. Okay, so there are great mysteries, great wisdom waiting to be revealed to us. So why aren't we hearing them? Well, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the unspiritual person does not receive the gifts of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they must be spiritually discerned. So in that part of it, what he's saying is that you're saying, well, you know, I don't get it. You know, these things are coming to my mind, but I don't get it. It's because they must be spiritually discerned, not intellectually discerned. And to paraphrase what Paul said next, which explains why we are capable of knowing the inner workings of God, he said, for we can know the mind of God because we have the mind of Christ. So how do I figure out the mind of God? I make this connection with the Christ mind that is within me, the individual expression of God in me, the eachness of the allness within me. The more I make that connection, the more I begin to understand the inner workings of God's mind. And we have the mind of Christ. We have the innate ability to hear and understand the truths that dwell within us. Well, again, you ask, why can I hear them? Can I hear these divine ideas inside myself? But as Rabbi Berg explained, the way, in his book called The Way, the Kabbalah tells us that the reason we cannot hear God is because the truth never shouts. It speaks to us in whispers. We must make a determined effort to hear the truth over the noise and negativity that often pervades our lives. All right? And again, you know that if you're practicing, you know, meditation, that you kind of have to kind of calm that noise or at least push it to the background. And so you got to be able to do that so you can hear these divine ideas that are coming to you, because they're always coming, but they're quiet. And you have to be able to quiet yourself. Be still and know that I am God. So our task is to attune ourselves to the frequency of the wisdom and to train ourselves to hear it through the distracting static of our ego. And it's important for us to realize that we are balanced between two forces, a positive force, and we talked about this a little bit last week, that draws us toward, you know, the transformation of our nature and ultimate fulfillment, and a negative force that pulls us towards the negative self-serving actions of our ego, okay? So both of these forces act on us in equal measure all the time. So often, true students begin to wonder, I spend so much time studying truth principles, why do I have to endure these negative experiences? The answer is the two forces provide us with the opportunity to choose. It's by constantly, consciously choosing the positive force to live life from spirit that we experience a transformation. Without the ability to choose, we could not experience transformation. That's, you're getting that? So, you know, it's not, just having everything all roses doesn't give you the chance to really demonstrate that you can make the choices that will elevate your consciousness, all right? And a major Kabbalistic principle is the external awakens the internal, all right? Meaning when we resist the urge to react from our self-serving nature, this external act awakens our indwelling Christ potential. So stuff happens. It's actually giving you a chance, an opportunity to practice not reacting. The not reacting to the outside stuff with fear or whatever it might be begins to awaken your indwelling Christ potential. Simply, transformation takes place when you have a spiritually proactive response to life. And remember, a proactive response to life is to always choose actions based on faith and love instead of reactions based on fear and resentment. Okay. So I end by sharing with you my two favorite affirmations I keep beside my bed. Pam could verify that for me. I started to bring them so I could show them to you because, you know, all of you have gotten these little green slips, and I keep these by my bed. They've been by there. It's on my bed for a very long time, all right? In fact, I'll share them with you so you can actually see them, all right? So the first one is, I renounce unwanted thoughts, feelings, emotions, and resistance to change. Yeah, I am filled with a sense of well-being, okay? Now, I what you see there is a little bit different, but the key is, I renounce unwanted fearful, negative thoughts, feelings, emotions. You may change those depending on what it is that you are struggling with, all right? And that last part, I'm filled with wholeness and light and a sense of well-being. So as you renounce these unwanted things that are going on within you, you become filled with wholeness and light and a sense of well-being. And the last one is, God is first in my life. Let's emphasize that. God is first in my life and is revealing to me the orderly process of my life. And so it is. Amen. All right. Thank you. Now I have meditation with Pamela.
So as we begin our time of meditation, position your body so you're comfortable and close your eyes so you can focus more fully on your breath without any distraction. Allow your mind to relax and become still. Take a deep breath in and exhale gently. Take another deep breath in and exhale. Consciously slow your breathing with each breath, releasing any tension or negative thoughts. You focus on your heart, and you are centered and relaxed and at peace. You release and experience acceptance. Acknowledging what is, you embrace acceptance and allow people, circumstances, and situations to simply be as they are. Your oneness with God assures you of your good. Consciously, you choose to drop all resistance and recognize what is present without judgment. You make peace with your emotions allowing them to be as they are with no self-judgment or blame. You take ownership and responsibility for your emotional well-being. It is not tied to other people, circumstances, or outcomes. Acceptance brings you peace. Relinquishing control, you embrace uncertainty and take comfort. Trust and faith keep you steady and secure as you let life flow and unfold. Guided by wisdom and discernment, you know when and how to act. You are flexible and adaptable. Your heart is free of resistance. You are accepting and free. And now I invite you to join me on that journey to the secret place of the Most High, our place of peace, love, joy, and faith, a place that exists in consciousness and that you may enter at any time. So we make our way to the door of the secret place. And before we can enter, we must become empty. So let's begin by releasing mental and emotional baggage, all the things that are no longer serving you. And then we release physical baggage. And we take a step through the door and we take a seat. And as we do, we feel the love and the light and wisdom of God surround us, flow over us, through us, and out into our world. We can already feel the acceptance and the peace. So now use the next few moments, because they really are your next few moments, to pray, to have your prayers answered, and to be still. We give thanks, Holy Spirit, that you have heard our prayers and you have answered them at the moment that we were asking. We affirm the highest good as you accept life's changing experiences. Holy Spirit, we are ready for your teaching, your love and support, and we give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. So when you are ready, come back to your surroundings and know that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you. Amen. And so it is.
Thank you, Helen. Mm-hmm. That was wonderful. So, we come to the part of our service where we bless our offering together. And I ask you to hold your offering in your hand or in your mind, because we know a lot of people give by debit straight from their bank, which we really appreciate. So however you give your offering, just hold it in your mind and see it doing its wonderful work for Unity Center of Light and, you know, throughout the universe. So holding it in your mind, let's just put up our, we can say this together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue
the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right. And, we want to do our blessing for our path.
Bless the path.
Yes, bless the path. Okay.
Let's bless the path that we will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with
passion,
zeal, and gusto together.
I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right. So, no really light news other than just sharing with you to please join us in a Zoom session right after this. If you have not joined a Zoom session, we've been playing some really incredible music. There's so much great music from around the world, and I still don't understand the technology of how they're doing it when they're in the Congo and Los Angeles and Italy and, you know, all over the place, you know, and they're doing this incredible music together. There's one called, what is that called, the World something? I forgot the name of it.
I don't know, Songs for Change or
something. Yeah, Songs for Change, yeah. Just absolutely phenomenal music. So we've been sharing that and have a chance to share with each other how we're feeling, talk about talk about, you know, courageous conversation, you know, whatever. It just gives us a chance to communicate and have some fellowship.
Yeah, we would really like to get your feedback on the lessons. Wouldn't you, dear?
Yeah. Yeah, so you know what it is? It's sort of like we do this almost in a vacuum. You know, normally when you're in a regular service, you step out and you get feedback. Pam gets feedback on her meditation. I get feedback on my talk. But we're kind of doing it in a vacuum. And especially with a lesson, I don't know if I'm moving in a direction that you really want to move in. So comments, you know, whatever, you know, that just kind of helps us out. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's do our, prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. And all is well.
And that's the truth.
All right. So, again, you know, have a wonderful week. This was fun for us.
Yes.
You know, to do this for you. And we look forward to seeing you in Zoom. All right. So.